We finally finished the Bible. We got to the very last verse of the Bible. Now what do we do? Well, as I mentioned a few weeks ago, Revelation only shows up in the Revised Common Lectionary a few verses at a time here and there, and this is one of the few places in the three-year cycle where we have Revelation for several weeks in a row. And I think it's really important for us to look at the text for today. But before we do, I want to mention something, that there were some hard words in what was read for today about who doesn't come in and what it means to wash one's robes. And I'll just let you know that the Revised Common Lectionary omits those words. They did not suggest that preachers read those words today, which I think is an error. I wanted to read those because we have to think long and hard about what it is that we're encountering when we encounter God's invitation to be God's people. And I wanted to read those words that seem very exclusive and exclusionary, and I think that's why the lectionary excludes them, because I think that we often misinterpret their meaning. I mentioned to Sydney earlier that I went to a party this week and that some of you also were at that party and that it was great that we really didn't have big boundaries. People could come in and participate and share, and it was beautiful and wonderful and nice. And sometimes we celebrate great big welcoming invitations to things like parties, to things like faith, to things like loving communities, and then for one reason or another, we don't live up to those invitations. We say things like, all y'all are welcome, everybody come, and then we become a little standoffish. And I think part of it's because we're nervous, we're worried, and we're just not sure about our own sense of belonging. And so we don't know what to do as the group enlarges or as the group changes. I was made aware of that last night. I went to kind of a strange event last night. Susan and I go from time to time and are subscribers to the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra. And we usually know what we're going to get. We usually know that we're going to go to the Symphony Orchestra, we're going to get fantastic music, and that we're going to get music of a certain style. There's a range, but we tend to know what the orchestration will be, and we tend to know, in general, the sort of repertoire that might be engaged at the symphony. Last night, we knew what we were going to get as well. We went to see the St. Louis Symphony Orchestra do the work of Led Zeppelin, which was fantastic. But as we were coming into Powell Hall, I remarked to Susan, this isn't the normal symphony crowd. The crowd looked a little different, right? There were some younger folks. There were some folks who were dressed more casually. The rules were different. Now, you could actually bring an alcoholic drink into Powell Hall to watch the Led Zeppelin music show. There were more tattoos showing last night than usually at the symphony. There were fewer ties and fewer jackets, etc. And as we got there and I realized, wow, this is more like when we go to Riverport or whatever it's called these days to see a group, and less like when we go to the symphony, I began to realize that sometimes we cordon ourselves off into little groups and we begin to have expectations about whom we're going to see. Here's what I found out last night as I watched the symphony and some other musicians play the music of Led Zeppelin. I found out that I got exactly what I was hoping I would get. Fantastic music surrounded by other people who came to listen to fantastic music, right? There was no list on the invitation that said outside will be the dogs and the sorcerers and the pornographers and all of that. The invitation was, this is the kind of fantastic music we're going to be playing. You're invited to come. Now, there were people who were outside of Powell Hall last night. Many of you, I don't think I saw many of you there last night. There were hockey fans who might have been outside Powell Hall last night, though many were inside Powell Hall. The guest conductor wore a Blues jersey last night. There were baseball fans, and even some Cardinals fans, who were outside Powell Hall last night, right? Cubs and Cardinals were playing, and lots of other people. Why? Because they chose not to be there to listen to the music last night, or they couldn't make it. The thing is, no one said to them, because you love the Blues, or because you love the Cardinals, or because you're mowing your lawn, or because you can't be here tonight, we want to exclude you. What they said was, this is what we are offering. We hope you will come. Revelation is doing the same thing. It paints for us this incredible picture of the city of God, where God is on God's throne, where there is a river of the water of life, and says, this is what God is offering. We hope you will come. Sometimes, though, we get stuck on those exclusionary sounding verses, like verse 15 that lists the dogs and the sorcerers, etc. And we begin to think that we're insiders and it's our job to police the borders of God's realm to keep out those outsiders. That, siblings in Christ, would be a mistake. That would be to begin to make judgments about God's welcome that we're not authorized to make. God's welcome is to all people and all creation. Our task is to respond to it and participate in it. Now, Revelation does seem to say that there will be some who will not choose to enter through the gates of this city because they are participating in other things that are not happening within the gates of this city. And even while they're participating in those other things, the call goes out to them continuously. Come. Come to the well. Come to the water. Come to the life. Come to the party. You are being called. You are being asked to respond to God's call, to be in that place where God's justice is known, where God's love is received, where God's grace is celebrated. And you are being asked to be a part of the chorus who invites others to participate as well. Let them know how wonderful it is to be the creation of a gracious Creator. Let them know how wonderful it is that we are all called and we are all welcomed and we can all enter through those gates and experience the transformation that comes with, as Revelation says, washing our robes. Revelation uses this idea of washing our robes as an idea of responding to God's call. That's what we're called to do. I was thinking about it with this invitation, if you are thirsty to come, vis-a-vis the idea of a well. The Bible's got lots of well stories. Lots of stuff can happen at a well in the Bible. You can meet a girlfriend or boyfriend at a well in the Bible. You can find water at a well. You can have a skirmish at a well. You can have a theological conversation at a well. You can even change your name at a well. So many things can happen. You can go from an unmarried person to a married person because of something that happened at a well. Now, we don't really have community wells, so to speak, here in the St. Louis area in the way that they had them in the Bible. Did anybody walk to the well this morning to fetch yourself some water? Probably you went to the sink to get yourself some water, or even the door of the refrigerator to get yourself some water this morning, as did I. However, in many places where I've lived and traveled, people walk to the well in the morning in order to fetch some water. It's a centralized place. It has a necessary commodity, and so people gather there. When you go to the well, you go because you have a need. You are thirsty. You need water. It's important to you. And when you go to the well, it's a communal event often because others who also have that need come to that place. And wells, if they are plentiful, wells, if they are welcoming, wells, if they are shared by the community, are not places of exclusion. When wells become places of exclusion, communities break down. When some people say to other people, we have this precious commodity, we have this needed thing, and you can't have it, communities break down. I was a part of this study in Southern Africa many years ago. It was Southern African Religious Health Assets Project. Here's what that meant. That meant in two countries in Southern Africa, the researchers were trying to discover whether and how the church was in any way a health asset. Could you get healthier, or could you perceive that you could get healthier by being connected to the church at all? And so we didn't go around and just ask people, hey, do you feel like you're healthier because you're connected with the church? We were sneakier than that. We went village to village and worked with people, and we asked them this question: where do you go to find, and in the Lesotho part of the study, we asked Bopelo. In fact, will you all say that word with me? Bopelo. All right. That word means life, health, wholeness. And it's part of a Basotho greeting. When you meet someone, you ask them how they're living. You would say, Upela Zhuang. You can hear the pale in Bopelo there. How are you living? Is what you ask folks when you meet them. And if you really are a Masutu, you probably will ask them, Lepela Zhuang, which is, how y'all living? How are you and yours living? How are you? How's your family? Never ask about one person without asking about the people they're connected to. So we went village to village, and we said to folks who gathered to be with us, we want you to map out your community and show us all the places you find Bopelo, where you find health, wholeness, and life. And sometimes we did it with butcher paper and big sheets on the wall. And sometimes if we didn't have that, we would just do it on the ground, and people would draw out, even in the dirt, their community and where they found Bopelo, where they found life, health, and wholeness. It was fascinating. We'd go village to village, and what we found was that over and over again, certain kinds of place were places of Bopelo. One was always the water source. People would talk about going to the well, and so they would mark that out. And we watched as people made maps of their communities. Those maps were not always geographically accurate. These maps would not be Google Maps kind of maps. The maps had more to do with conceptual accuracy. Places that were really important, people would draw more largely on the maps. Places that were central to the community's life ended up being center on the map, even if perhaps they were a little more peripheral if you looked at Google Maps. And it's not that the people were naive. They knew where the things were. But what they were saying is, this is what's important. The well became important. Yes, the church became important in many of these villages. Also, the post office. If the village had a post office there or nearby, it was very important, because it was through the post office that they could get remittances from husbands, mostly, who were working in the South African mines. And so word from your husband and money from your husband's job could come there, and that meant life, health, and wholeness. What we found out about those places where you could find Bopelo is that by and large, they were communal spaces. Places that weren't communal spaces, places that were privatized or closed off, were not places that people in the village felt like they could find life, health, and wholeness, because they felt like they weren't welcome. Even if there were resources there, there were not resources to be had there. And so people did not feel called. They felt excluded. They did not feel welcomed. In fact, in many cases, they felt repelled. Now, we've got a choice to make as we interpret and live this final piece of the Bible. Do we believe that the Bible is a book of bopelo, of life, health, and wholeness, and therefore a community asset, and therefore a welcoming clarion call to all those who would find and desire the waters of life? Or do we believe that it is exclusionary? It's an interpretive decision we're really forced to make. If you believe that the Bible is an exclusionary document, you're going to have to really do some interpretive gymnastics with the way that it ends saying, "Come, all who are thirsty. Come, all who have need." And I want to tell you that as you struggle with this question, is the Bible fundamentally a book of bopelo? Is it a community resource? Is it an invitation to all of humanity? Or is it exclusionary, that you are in good company? People have been struggling with that question for thousands of years. We have ancient manuscripts of the end of the Bible, of the end of the book of Revelation, that have different endings. It turns out some scribes weren't even sure to do with the end of Revelation. So in some of the ancient manuscripts, at the very end, what we have is that God's promise is for all. At the end of some other manuscripts, what we have is that it's for all of the holy ones, the saints, the insiders. We, of course, don't know and can't be for sure which one of those came first, or why the scribe did it differently, or how the tradition came down. But what we do know is that's kind of how people tend to be, isn't it? We tend to ask ourselves, is this a good thing for me and folks like me and not for other folks? Or is this good thing intended for everyone? So we have to look for other clues to understand whether the Bible is a book of bopelo, of health, life, and wholeness, or whether it's exclusionary. And some of those clues are creation clues. We might look to the front of the Bible, the book Genesis, and we might ask ourselves, well, to whom is creation offered? For whom is creation created? And about whom is this story going to be? And what we find when we read in the book of Genesis is that God offers creation to humanity and plants and animals and the cosmos, and gives people a very specific task to care, to love, to steward, to move across the face of the earth. What we find is that even though God intends creation for all, people have a bumpy time living in creation. And by the end of the Bible, the end of our canon, by the end of the book of Revelation, we see that it's still true, that God's city comes down, a new Jerusalem. Its gates are open by day and night, because there never is night there. And the call is made, come, come, all who thirst, come, all of you. And we find that we have difficulty sometimes choosing to enter the city, and that those people, some of them who believe they've entered the city, think it's their job to turn and to defend the city against others who might accidentally get in or who might infiltrate in some way. I was thinking about that. I was thinking about whether or not that's a city I want to go to. I love the part about God's presence with all my heart and soul. I love the part about all of the water of life. I love the part about the healing of the nations. But when someone starts talking to me about the part where, if that's the city that we get into, it's our job to make sure those other people who aren't like us don't get in, then the Groucho Marx in me comes out. Y'all heard that Groucho Marx quote? I'm going to paraphrase it, and it comes in many different forms, but something like, I wouldn't want to belong to a club that would have me as a member. I think when the time comes that I get so exclusionary that I believe that God's love is for me and not for others, that's a club that I don't want to belong to. But the good news is, Revelation calls to all. Revelation puts out the clarion call to experience life, health, wholeness. The Basutu would say, bopelo, and invites people to enter in, invites people to experience that joy, invites people to know that love, invites people to live in that environment. And that, siblings in Christ, is what we are also called to do. We are called to know that God is the God of all the nations, that God desires and provides healing, hope, opportunity, and grace for all the nations. And we are to respond to that call and to join in repeating it from the bottoms of our hearts, at the top of our voices, from rooftops, from doorways, in marketplaces, all around the world. Because everyone deserves to come to the well. Everyone deserves to find health, happiness, hope, and life. This is God's intention. And we, as those who celebrate Jesus Christ, as we accept that welcome, we are also called to extend it. Let us go forth from this place and this time to find ways to extend that welcome to everyone, to cry at the top of our voices, come, all who are thirsty, come. Amen.